Marie, I'm an addict.
Hey, Marie.
And that was quick. It was long, but it was quick. So I wanted to start off giving you some completely useless information. Our topic is recovery through the generations. So I was doing a little quick math up here, and my sponsor is a baby boomer. I'm Gen X. We got some Gen Z, some millennials over here, and none of that's important. And we have a sponsorship line here. You guys are missed a really a big treat. Celeste should have been here. She is my sponsee. She's amazing and has a fantastic message. And she sponsors Jess. And Jess sponsors Carrie, correct? Okay, so some of the brain cells are still here. And I'm going to do this because I feel like it's... Okay. Yeah, I'm short. Even with heels, I'm short, guys. So, thank you. And I say all that to say none of it matters in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how much clean time we have. We got an assortment of clean time up here, too. And what matters is the quality of my recovery today, right? And for sponsorship, my sponsor has something I want. She has a peace about her, regardless of the chaos around her. She doesn't create chaos wherever she goes. And when I got here, I created chaos wherever I went. And that looked really appealing. And she had a nice little life, and she felt inclusive. Like, she invited me. I asked this woman to sponsor me, right? She didn't know me from Adam. And she's like, oh, we're having a get-together at my house. You want to come over? And I was like, really? You want me to come to your house? You don't even know me. And she has loved me for the last 24 years, right? And she's not my first sponsor. I'd like it if she's my last sponsor, but, you know, who only knows? What I know is that today she still has everything I want. She has a solid program, and she's worth emulating, right? Now, the other flip side of, like, recovery through the generations, and I was thinking about on the way here, is that my recovery has looked really different as time has progressed, right? When I first got here, the first woman that sounded like she could put two sentences together that made sense, I was like, will you be my sponsor? And she was like, sure. And then I went through this really judgy stage that happens a lot in early recovery where I thought I knew a thing or two. And I took her inventory and I got a new sponsor. Really bad decision-making skills on my part. And then she had the nerve to tell me it was really bad decision-making skills. I feel like if I could find this woman, I would apologize. She is definitely on my 8-step list. And so I went, so I had another sponsor, and that sponsor used when I had 5 years clean. And then I got another sponsor. And then she did this, so my sponsor currently, right, she shared this at a meeting one time from the podium, and she said, if you haven't talked to your sponsor in 2 weeks, maybe you don't have a sponsor. And I was like, oh, that's happened to me. Like, I literally, because I'm old, as we just, you know, established, right? I am a Gen X. It was before cell phones, and we had pagers and whatever, and I didn't have a house phone because I was broke, and I went to the payphone and I called her, and her phone was disconnected, and I was like, oh, I had no sponsor. Like, if I can't call you, I don't have a sponsor. And then a whole bunch of craziness ensued, and I moved 3,000 miles. And I knew that my life depended on Narcotics Anonymous. My life depended on connecting with people in my new area in Narcotics Anonymous and basically ratting out my disease. Because I got this job where I could look a part, I can dress a part, I know how not to drop the F-bomb, although I know how to drop it quite well, too. I'm trying really hard not to. So I dress up nicely is my point, right? So I had this job where they like to go out for happy hour and all that fun stuff. And I knew that if I did not rat my disease out, get myself entrenched in Narcotics Anonymous, I was in deep trouble. And so I got here, my sponsor happened to come speak at my home group, and I ran up. I had 7 years clean at that point, and I ran up to her like I had a hot minute. And I was like, will you be my sponsor? And she was kind enough to say yes, right? And as a result of her kindness and generosity, I have been able to give back to the women I sponsor, right? And it's a very personal relationship, sponsorship, right? And you'll hear, like, I left a meeting for the main speaker in the afternoon or whatever, and he was talking about how he went to prison and his woman was sleeping with his sponsor, right? Stuff happens. You're going to find what you find here. But what I know is that if I am speaking, really truly speaking, people who are living in spiritual principles, that's what I'm going to find, right? And I've been able to surround myself with amazing people in this program who've showed me how to do things in a spiritually based way, right? Not just my sponsor, but she's been pivotal in that. And so, I got derailed for a second. I'm going to peek at the time. So there's three of us, obviously, so I want to make sure I don't go over. Because I can chitty-chat all night. Especially when it talks about, you know, recovery and sponsorship. So what's happened, right? That personal relationship that gets established for me with my sponsor is that my sponsor knows everything about me. Stuff that I don't love, stuff that I'm embarrassed by, stuff that I carried shame with for a really long time. And not once, to my knowledge, has she ever said, did you know Marie did blah, 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 blah? You know, I've never had any of my information come back to me. Not once has she ever said, you're just too sick for me to sponsor. I came to her one time with my... So basically, I haven't always been the squeaky clean addict. And I was doing some really cruddy things, and they bit me in the hiney. And I came to her and just laid it all out. But bleh. And she said, well, that's the progression of your disease. And it was very simple, right? That's the progression of your disease. She didn't say, I can't believe you did that. What is wrong with you? Like, get away from me. You disgust me. She didn't say any of those things. She let me know that the disease had me on the ropes and I had a choice. Right? She used her experience in strength and hope to work me through this situation and get me right back into the step work where I needed to be all along. Right? As a result of her unconditional love, I've been able to do that for other women. And as a result of that, I've been able to make connections with people. And when I got here, I couldn't make connections with people. I couldn't look anybody in the eye. I could tell you what shoes you were wearing. I couldn't, I was really uncomfortable in social situations. I drove myself here all by my little lonesome today, and yes, last night. And got a meeting. And I would have never done that when I got here. I was terrified of social situations. But people have loved me and continued to love me regardless of, and sat with me. And my best friend actually called to make sure I was okay, because she knows how I am about conventions. Turns out I'm getting better all the time. And as a result of that, not only have I been able to give women unconditional love and develop relationships and let them be exactly who they are, regardless of what I think, right? Because it's not about what I think. It's about what spiritual principle are you applying in your life today? That's what I want to know. But I've been able to have a healthy relationship with my husband. Like, I could never have a healthy relationship with a man before. That's something that I've learned in this process. I have learned how to be of service and of value to my family, to my children, and love them unconditionally, right? And so there's the generational piece, right? I broke a cycle for my children who can then hopefully be better than I am, right? Like, that's my hope, is my parents did the best they could and they did better than their parents. And I did better than them. And hopefully my children will do even better. That's the hope. But what I can say 100% is that I love them, even when they make stupid decisions, right? When their decision-making skills are poor, what I can do is recognize that, been there. I've made some doozies. And I can love them unconditionally. I got 2 minutes. Okay. So through the generations, the other piece, right, is because I got clean and got some recovery and worked some steps and developed relationships with people, found a voice, found a way to say what I needed to say, and not say it mean, that little thing. I learned to actually have a relationship with my parents. And I thought I had a relationship coming in, but what I had was no mouth, no voice, no opinion, whatever you say, because I want to do whatever I can to make you love me, right? I was the ultimate chameleon, and that included with my family. And then I got a mouth, and they didn't know what to do with me. And then it got a little dicey for a minute, and I'd be really mad because people would come in and be like, my family's so happy with me now, and all this happy family love. And I'm like, my parents are pissed. They do not understand. My dad's like, I don't understand why talking about your problems at a meeting helpful. I'm like, you know what? I don't know either, but it works. That's all I know. It works. But I consistently applied spiritual principles in those relationships. And as a result, I was able to take care of my parents until the day they died. I held my dad's hand as he took his last breath, and he said to me, girl, there is nothing I don't love about you. And I held my mom's hand and had to remind her that she was on her, she's on her deathbed, she's trying to get out of bed, and I'm like, Mom, you can't, you can't get out of bed. She's like, what? I said, you're dying, you have cancer. She's like, you're shitting me. And I said, Mom, quick, tell me something else, because that cannot be the last word you say to me. I said, tell me you love me or something. She goes, I love you. So that was her last words. But I was able to do all the things to take care of her in a humility and a privilege. Like, I felt privileged to be able to take care of my parents. And that is something that I learned here, right? Here in Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't learn that at home. I didn't learn how, like, when somebody's sick, you take them some soup at home. I learned it here. And there we go. So, I tried to stay on topic. I hope you got something out of it. And the good news is Jesse is going to bring it home.
Addict Queen Jessica. Hey, Jessica. Hi, good evening. Thanks for, thank you for the committee for hosting this wonderful convention and for asking us to speak. I got 10 minutes, so I'm going to get right into it. 10. So, I was thinking about recovery through the generations, and it's not an age thing. It's not even necessarily like a clean time thing. I know people who sponsor people have way more clean time than them, but what I was thinking about, like, we were at Linda's anniversary. So there's Linda, she sponsors Marie, Marie sponsors Celeste, Celeste sponsors me, I sponsor Christina, Christina sponsors Alex, and we were all in Linda's anniversary together, 6 generations, right? And that's, I don't know if everyone has that, right? I'm grateful that my sponsorship family is visible in meetings, like, on a regular basis, right? I got clean in Central Maryland. I'm not trying to call anyone out, but so I live in Columbia, which is right between Central Maryland and West Side. So we like straddle the line. You know, and when I was getting clean, there were, like, visible generations of women in the area. And, like, lately it just doesn't seem that way, right? I don't know. Everyone is, like, on Zoom or will show up to their home group, you know, 3 times a month. And it just seems really, you know, it got kind of, like, dark and lonely. You know, I like to see my predecessors in meetings in my neighborhood, and it wasn't looking like that. You know, so it's like, what do? We act like a small town and build up new generations, right? We show up in meetings regularly and practice goodwill and show the newcomer that it works and they can stay clean through anything, right? And by doing that, what I've found is that the newer women coming behind us don't have to come in and out, right? Most of them come in and stay because they're stuck with us, because we're in a meeting every single day. Me, my sponsees, most of my grand sponsees were visible in meetings. And so the newer, particularly, I don't know what happened, but there's like an explosion of new women, like not even a treatment center of them, just coming in off the streets, right, lately. And we have a women's meeting in Colombia, and there's just like, and I'm talking like teenagers, right, too, like they're, you know, being run in from, I guess, whatever is out there, something's chasing them anyway, you know, and it's a gift to be able to like show up and the way people did for me, right? I didn't get clean right away, but there are always people like, you know, women who like cared for me when I got here and was high in every meeting or picking up another white key tag or getting 30 days clean. You know, people were just always very tolerant of me. So I try to give back in that way. You know, I'm practicing goodwill. Like last night we went out to dinner after a meeting and there were 5 or 6 women with under a year clean that we said, come out with us, right? And just like trying to get people rooted so that we keep the generations going, so that there are people to sponsor new people, and that you know, we just show that like no addict needs to die from the horrors of addiction, right? Like if you're clean today, you don't ever have to use again, you know. Yeah, I get emotional thinking about it, but recovery through the generations, that's how it's been looking to me, is that, you know, regardless of what generations before us do, like we have all these new generations, potential generations coming in, and yeah, it's just important to be available, to be visible, to work the steps, you know. In our family, we work all the steps, not just some of them, right? Like, we ride each other. You know, my sponsees hold me accountable. I hold them accountable. They hold their sponsees accountable. And we get better. And, like, we're creating new sponsors is what we're doing. Like, that's the purpose of this. Like, it's good that you get better, but you're a sponsor now. Like, that's really the important part, is that, like, you know, we're available to help the next suffering addict, you know. So that's really all I've got. I appreciate you guys asking me to share. Thank you, and I'll keep coming back.
I'm Carrie, I'm an addict.
Hey,
guys, thank you guys for joining us. It is a blessing to be standing in front of you today and to have been asked by a generation of Narcotics Anonymous to step up for her, because she's going through some personal things and she needed a little bit of a break. She, I don't want to tell her story, but she needed someone to have her back. So yesterday I was asked to come and speak for her, so I'm here speaking for her. So that's what we do around here, right? We help each other at the last minute, at the drop of a hat. We help each other no matter what. We stand by each other no matter whether I'm 46 and she's 34. It doesn't matter if I'm, 46 and my sponsee is 15. Did you hear what I just said? We have people coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in the generation of high school students at the age of 15. The generations of Narcotics Anonymous means I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor who sponsors. And I continue to sponsor so that my sponsees can sponsor. And I don't only just sponsor my sponsees. Like, for me, like, the words, I sponsor them, like, when it comes down to, like, working the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Working our traditions, working our concepts, really getting in there and digging deep and finding out, like, what it is about me, what it is about you, like, why have I never felt good enough to fit in anywhere? I feel great standing in front of you today saying that I'm an addict who participates in Narcotics Anonymous. I am never been more proud of anything except being a mother, that I'm a damn addict. Because now I know why I felt the way I felt. I've had the ability through the women before me to do some work in the step working guide and do some work on myself and take suggestions and get outside help. Because the women before me did not leave. After COVID, so many of our predecessors have stepped away from our program. And it's sad. Predecessors that I looked up to, women that I admired, women that could change these 15-year-old girls' lives. So I asked myself, when a 15-year-old young lady comes to me and says, "Will you sponsor me?" Like, what the hell? I've never raised a girl. I have two boys. Right? They're 26 and 21. You're 15. I don't know what to do with a girl. Not a young girl. And then I look at her and I see me the more she talks. And I wish that at the age of 15 I could have walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and asked for help. I wish that I was giving the blessing of knowing these programs existed, or even the ability to see that I was already an addict and couldn't even see it coming. Stealing my grandmother's cigarettes in middle school, sneaking out on the side of the house, smoking underneath the porch, loving the rush of the nicotine, having to get the menthols to fit in with the right people in the neighborhood, taking my first drink, probably 14. God knows, like, I'm going through therapy. I'm revealing stuff I didn't even know I went through. And you know, like, I'm going through, like a lot of mental health, like working on myself. And I like to always bring up, like, mental health. Because a lot of people in my area, they kind of, like, shun from it. And I don't want to ever shun from it. I suffer from the disease of addiction. I suffer from manic depressive disorder and anxiety. It was suggested to me plenty of times that I get a psychiatrist and that I get a therapist from women who came before me. From my sponsee sisters, from my sponsor, from just other women in my network, from men in my network. And I was like, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just an addict. And then I started reading some literature. And it says in our literature that, like, underneath, like, our addiction is usually some mental health issues, you know. And, like, listening to the ladies who spoke before me, it's like, what do I have to offer? Like, of course, my disease up here asking me, like, what do I have to offer? Because I can tell you right now, if it wasn't for Marie, who sponsored Celeste, who sponsored Jess, who sponsors me and Christina, and we sponsor all these other women, I would be dead. Like, if these generations before me did not have the willingness and the desire to come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and sit down and in their day shut the fuck up and listen, where would I be today? I would be more than likely in a grave with two sons wondering why they weren't good enough for their mom to get clean. Talk about generations of recovery. My kids seen me after the divorce of my ex-husband, and then I got with a new man, and I mean, I partied all through high school. I experimented. I did all that stuff. But my disease took off at like 36, 35, 36. I didn't get clean until I was like 42. They watched it all. My oldest one didn't take a freaking full scholarship to diesel mechanic school because mom was smoking crack. And he had to stay home and take care of his little brother because mom was smoking crack. Did I know that's why he didn't go at the time? No, I do now. I know now because the women in Narcotics Anonymous have walked me through the steps to be able to speak to my children, to understand the harm and the pain that I caused to them and try to break that generational curse going down to my children. My youngest son, who's now 21, being able to come to me and tell me my favorite drug is lean, and mom, I don't ever want to do it again. I've seen what happened with you. And you know what? I've seen what happened with my dad. I pulled my dad out of a bandos in Westside with double track marks in his arm, pregnant with my oldest son. And I swore I would never use drugs. And I swore no matter what, I would never put a substance in my body. Oh, but my God, the first time I put a substance in my body, I don't know, that just kind of went out the window. Because I finally felt like myself, whatever myself was at the time. You know, like I look back and my dad, he was never in my life. He was always out using. He was always out running. It's just what he did. And my dad and I didn't have a relationship. And you know, like you shared about your dad, right? Then I watched Jess and her relationship with her parents. And I was able to finally go to my dad and be like, you know what, Dad, you want to know what's been wrong with me for the past few years since you're in a different state and you don't know? Full-blown crackheaded, I don't know what to do. I said, my drug of choice is the same as yours. And we were able to rebuild whatever type of relationship we have now. We can talk about anything. He called me this morning, sitting in the Lowe's parking lot, just to talk to me about a job opportunity that I've been given because I have had the blessing of meeting women before me in Narcotics Anonymous. Because there are men in this program who believe in me that are from the previous generation of Narcotics Anonymous. And I know I'm kind of like jumping everywhere, but like the generations of recovery, like, I mean, like, okay, you can talk about the generations of sponsorship like we did, right? We can talk about generations of like me and to my children. What about my children and to their children? Right? Like that generational curse we're talking about breaking, right? Hoping to God that, you know, like we work a thorough enough program that we implement the spiritual principles into our children. So that they carry those same spiritual principles out in the world and they're practicing a program of Narcotics Anonymous and don't even know it. Because in my opinion, if this world had a program of Narcotics Anonymous, we would be in such a better place. I look at people in my life, very few people in my life are not in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. But I look at like my dad when he's going through things and he's a clean addict. He's not a recovering addict. And he said, what are you doing today, babe? I said, I'm going down to Towson to a convention. One of my friends asked me to step up for her, lead. He's like, oh, that's so good. He's like, I'm so glad to hear that. He's like, anything's better than in a bando tying off, right, baby girl? I mean, whose dad can say that? You know, like I literally started crying when he's like, at least you're not tying off today. And the thing is, like, I guess my dad believes I was an IV drug user. I won't never say never, but I haven't got there yet. And by the grace of God in this program of Narcotics Anonymous, hopefully I never will. If I follow the suggestions of those who have come before me and even those who have come after me, I'm not even going to tell you that there hasn't been times that my sponsees have saved my life. You know, I've been going through a really... pretty good bout of depression, you know. Like, I finally admitted that I need to get back on my meds once I started listening and taking suggestions from my sponsor and my sponsee sisters and stuff. And I was literally, like, just isolating and just staying in bed. But my network of women wouldn't leave me there. They gave me a couple days. And then finally, like, my sponsor was like, you don't see what's going on with yourself, because, again, I'm sure we've all heard this. I'm inside the picture, and they're outside the frame, and I'm swearing I'm okay, but they see what's coming. Just because I have 40 years clean doesn't mean I can't take 40 seconds to put something in me. So learning to lean on the different generations of Narcotics Anonymous has been a tremendous blessing in my life. If you're new to Narcotics Anonymous and you're just coming here and you're just getting clean, welcome. You know, like, you know, those before me said, you never have to use again. And I know that sounds like an insane thing, right? Like, we never have to use again. But I just did it one day at a time. And it can be done one day at a time. And some days for me, it was 5 minutes at a time. When I had to put my ex-boyfriend out because he was in active addiction and I couldn't live in it after 2.5 years, and I've done everything to stay clean, and it was getting to the point of complete turmoil and insanity. My sponsor held me in a parking lot while I cried and he was taken out in handcuffs. But I was able to put him out because I worked the third program in those 2.5 years. That street code for me wasn't there anymore. I had a code of ethics that was built by Narcotics Anonymous. Honesty, willingness, open-mindedness, freaking integrity, right? And my kids were seeing a different woman, and I wasn't going to allow my house to get raided again. So what do? I lean on the generations of Narcotics Anonymous to get me through it. The women in my life to literally hold me at my weakest moment, to show me that I don't ever have to use again, no matter what. So when I don't see myself coming, they see me coming. And the same goes for, like, just the women who've recently come into our lives, right? Like, we love you. You don't ever, ever, ever have to use again. Pick up your phone, call us, reach out. If you don't know me and you're in this meeting and you need somebody, get my number after. I'm good with that. You know, like, one of the ladies before me shared, like, it doesn't matter your age, race, ethnicity. I have one sponsee that has more clean time than me. And when she came to me and asked me to sponsor her, I was like, well, what can I do for you? Because you have more clean time than me. And she's like, no, you have everything I want. But I still ask myself why I don't have enough. But she wants what I have. So I have to remember the gratitude and the blessings that I have received in this program that I forget along the way when I get stuck in my self-centeredness and my mental illness and my depression and my diseases yelling at me in my own voice that life is not worth living. I have to remember that there are generations of women and men in our community that look up to each other. That if I go out and use, then my sponsee might go out and use. And if I go out and use, I'm going to devastate my sponsor. That would break me. To break her or my sponsee sisters, right? That's what keeps me clean. The generations of Narcotics Anonymous that come together, regardless of age, race, sexual ethnicity, religion. We don't talk about none of that. We say, I love you. What can I do to help you? Like, literally, what can I do to help you? Age ranges from 50 to 60, like 15 to 60, it doesn't matter. The most important thing around here is that we never, ever, ever have to use again. And I will lean on a 15-year-old girl who says, will you be my sponsor to pull me out of my own ass just to stay clean that day? And I will lean on a 60-year-old woman who can tell me, sit down and shut up, because I need to realize that I don't know everything quite yet. And I will lean on a sponsee sister who is going through some shit when she says, I need you, or I'm here for you. Like, my God, like, if you guys only knew what the women in my life were going through, but they're still there for me. Like, are you fucking kidding me? If I was going through what some of the women in my life are going through, I don't know if I could be there for anybody. And some of the stuff that the women in my life have been through, and they still show up here. Beaten cancer, and they still show up here and help other women. Coming back after relapse, and they still show up to take care of other women. They still have to take care of themselves, but it's about the generations. Like, what's going to happen to the generations 5, 10, 15 years from now if all of our predecessors keep walking out the door and stealing from this program and not giving back? I can't do that. My sponsor taught me that I have to be willing to freely give away what was so freely given to me, and that I cannot steal from this program, because the minute I start stealing from this program, I'm headed for relapse. And I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to risk it. And I'm grateful that I have women from multiple generations that when I start sinking into my own dark hole of dereliction, depression, everything our literature talks about, multiple generations of people are reaching down in that hole to pull me back out. So I'm grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful to have been blessed with the opportunity to stay clean one day at a time. I'm eternally grateful to the women in my life that have stood by me and those who have come before me that have continued to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful to the men in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous who treat me as a woman and have integrity and respect me as a woman and don't treat me like the men did out on the street. The men that work spiritual principles and work a thorough program of Narcotics Anonymous that come with integrity themselves, I'm grateful for them, right? It teaches me that I don't need to accept less. It helps me set really good boundaries moving forward in my life. When I see a man working a thorough program of Narcotics Anonymous, I know I deserve better than what I've had in my past. So if no one's told you today, I love you. Each and every one of you in this room has done something for me today. I feel you. I see your pain. I can see it. No addict seeking recovery need ever die. My gratitude speaks when I care, when I share with others the NA way. Thank you for letting me share.
I'd like to thank Marie, Jessica, and Carrie for a great meeting.